G'day, this is Big Brady Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Dean Brady of the Millennials.
This is the Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
How many of you guys have heard the term kayfabe?
Blue Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Matt Grim Basso.
This is the loosest kid in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome, everyone. For the last 5 years, your longest-running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. Hope you all went out and enjoyed local pro wrestling this weekend. What a World Series Wrestling Tour happened around the country, of course. Not going to Adelaide or Brisbane. I'm not going to bring that up because everybody apparently does bring it up. But who cares? I mean, next year, you never know. They might come back to Brisbane. They might come back to Adelaide. They might stay in Melbourne and Sydney and whatever. I mean, you can't argue with the fact, sold out shows all around the country. Also, congrats not only to friend of the show, Robbie Eagles, but amazing wrestler, winning the World Series Wrestling Championship off Austin Aries. And once again, thanks to World Series Wrestling for not only giving us tickets to give away to you, the fans, but for showcasing Australian talent right next to the best independent talent from around the world. Speaking of that Australian talent that was on the tour, my guests this week were one of those, or two of those actually. They're on one of the Melbourne legs. That is the tag team of Gods and Monsters. Now, listeners to the pod are well aware of Big Brody Marshall. He is one of the most underrated workers in the country, and probably I'm very biased here for that one because he's one of my best mates. But also his tag team partner, the Viking, Matt Grim Basso, is not only one of the best workers in Australia, he is one of the founders of Riot City Wrestling, the head trainer of the Riot City Wrestling Academy. But on a personal note, he's one of the men that are most responsible for me being able to be a part of something that is truly a passion in my life, and that is Australian wrestling. Between him, his brother Chris, and Bulldog McKenzie, they all opened me up to this amazing world, and there are a few people in this world I respect more than Matt. So to sit down with these two lads is something I can do every day for the rest of my life and have a great time, have a great laugh. These are two of the most genuine, nice, straight up blokes you'll ever meet in this world. We cover off World Series Wrestling, their work with World Series Wrestling, of course Riot City Wrestling, everything pretty much going on in Aussie wrestling today, and Brody threatens to stab people with horns. So with that in mind, here are Gods and Monsters on Wrestle Radio Australia.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of
Man, wow, that was cool. Matt Grim Basso, Big Brody Marshall, how are you, lads? First of all, Matt, how are you, mate? Matt Grim Basso.
Oh, sorry, Matt, I think you said Big Brody Marshall.
I did.
Oh my god, what a start. He's good. What a start. Right, this tag team's broken up, that's it. I'm not dealing with this shit.
So how's the team going, mate?
Oh, mate, I get hit in the head a lot.
Yeah. How are you, mate, anyway? Are you good?
Mate, I'm bloody good. Good. I'm bloody sensational. How are you?
I'm great.
Yeah?
Yes. And Brody, for the guy who said would never be on the podcast, you're like a fucking semi-regular now.
Yeah, yeah, which is good, you know. It's all about, you know, getting listeners on board, and I'm certainly a draw. But none of that's true. So, no, I'm good, mate, I'm good.
That is good. First off, Gods and Monsters, how did you come up with the name of the team? Because I know you've got the Viking gimmick and sort of like a gladiator type look now, because you the whole Russell Crowe thing. How did Gods and Monsters come about?
Tell the story, Matty.
All right, the real story, or should we make something up?
Let's hit them with reality first.
Yeah, write it all down right. In text message form, screenshot it, and then.
All right. So, months before we were a team, old mate Cree comes up to us and goes, "All right, guys, I got it. Gods and Monsters," and just pitched that. There was no context around it. It wasn't, let's call a show Gods and Monsters or a team or a whatever. It was just Gods and Monsters. It sounds cool. Something will just go with it. Because there was no context there, we just thought he was crazy because he is.
It's crazy. Yeah.
So we're joking around calling everything Gods and Monsters. And then, a few months later, we're deciding to team fucking around with a few weird things. Next minute, Old Mate Gods and Monsters perch up again. We're like, you know what?
In all honesty, at the start, we hated it. We were like, nah, there's no way. Let's think of something else. And then the more we heard it, the more we listened to it, like, it was coming around. It was like, oh, Jesus, this is actually sounding better and better. And and then we rolled with it.
Well, it could have been like Panda 10, so, I mean, it could have been.
Mate, the Panda 10 is amazing.
So is this because you guys have been singles competitors for a fair while now, you especially, Maddie, for a long time, is this something that you've sort of decided to shake things up a little bit to go into pretty much full on tag team?
No. It sort of feels a bit natural. Like it's definitely good to shake things up and try something new, and I honestly haven't really done that much tag team stuff before, so it's like a whole new skill level or skill to learn, even though obviously I have done it before. Never really pushed it, and then I mean, me and Brody just do, you know, we see each other all the bloody time now, so in terms of who we're going to tag and even what's happening storyline wise and whatnot, it just sort of fell in pretty perfectly. I don't know if it was even so much of a giant conscious, hey, this is what I really want to do sort of thing. It just sort of fell in. Oh,
Carnage, you're right, mate.
Yeah, that's me just falling over a box. Don't worry about it.
Good, good.
Yeah. And for you, Brody, because pretty much Maddie was one of your key trainers. What, how's it feel like tagging up after, especially after sort of all this time of working now, with the guy that helped train you? It's got to be sort of a weird sort of feeling.
To be honest with you, it's not this, like Maddie was saying, this sort of, I think this come along fairly naturally, and it just sort of evolved into what it is. I mean, Maddie and I had a massive feud just before we, which ran for about what, a year and a half, 2 years, Maddie?
About
something
that.
Like that. Yeah. So we worked together a lot, and we sort of, I don't know, it just this, I can't say that we both went, oh yeah, let's make a tag team, or let's join a build this tag team together. It sort of just morphed into what it is, and has become something that I think we're both pretty bloody keen on. And the fact that it's so gimmicky makes it so much fun, if that makes any sense.
Lovely.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I suppose just from the reaction you seem to have gotten from the crowd in was it Melbourne, wasn't it? Was it Melbourne?
Yeah, Melbourne. Yeah,
the crowd, yeah. The reaction you got from the crowd in Melbourne where they've really only just seen you for that first time teaming together, wanting to see you guys again, sort of must validate the way that you're going with the gimmick sort of thing.
Go for it, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. polite.
It definitely does. Like, it's always good hearing that people are enjoying the sort of stuff we do, but I don't know, half the stuff we do, it's not necessarily, you know, looked at of how can we get this more popular or how can we get that more popular. It's sort of, it's stuff that we like doing ourselves.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of coming across, is that we're out there having fun and just sort of dressing up in these bloody capes and helmets and having horn gimmicks and bloody things all over the place.
And we're two big bastards, and that helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, then we get to throw people around. That's always fun.
Yeah, that was, was it 3-2, wasn't it? It was you and you two against Conco, Cass,
yeah.
And...
Yeah, the faces, we were the heels and we had the handicap. So it was good, though. It was a fun match, and it was something that I think helped sort of propel us a little bit, which was good. So we got a lot of, went out and merch at intermission and at the end of the show, and we got a lot of good feedback from the fans that were there, and a lot of people asking, because they'd never seen us before. You know, some had, some hadn't, but some were asking, like, where are you from, and we want to see more of you, and all that sort of stuff. So we plugged Riot City a bit as well, which is really, really good. So
shout out to that one who knew all about RC Dub and all the...
Oh, yeah.
Like, whoa, this chick actually knows what to talk about. That's sensational.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's got to be good when someone from another state has watched a lot of your stuff off YouTube, really, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
bloody oath.
So is this something that you guys are looking to tour around from promotions interstate, or is it something that you just really want to stay home and establish it more, or what's the deal with you lads? Brody, I'll go with you, mate, because otherwise you'll talk each other. I know how to podcast, you see.
We sort of discussed this, and we're lucky enough where we're both in a position that we can pretty much pick and, like, it sounds really fucking self-centered, but we can pick and choose what we want to do. So,
you self-centered bastard.
Yeah. we've discussed it. If it happens and it happens to fall in the right place and we're both available and all that sort of stuff, yeah, we'll do it. But if not, we're happy doing what we're doing in Adelaide. And the good thing is we're having so much fun with it that that's the main goal for both of us. So, Grim?
Yeah. Indeed. We're doing more and more shows with RCW now as well. The house show, the live events are picking up and whatnot.
We've got the big shows like HQ and stuff happening now, which is just great for getting eyes on our product.
Yeah, so all of those shows, I mean, they keep us busy enough. Obviously, if we were trying to do this full time, we still got spare weekends, but then, obviously both got lives and both working full time and that sort of stuff as well. It does put a bit of a limit on things, and then trying to find the right companies that, I suppose, you know, we're not going to do the traveling around and paying your own way sort of stuff anymore. Back when you're trying to make a name for yourself in the early days, that's sort of the way it's done and whatnot. But without sounding too egotistical, I think those days are pretty well gone. I think there's been a lot of Australian companies that have done hard work to try and sort of put those days behind us. Not necessarily for everyone, but for the right people, the people that have sort of been around for a long time and sort of earned their spots and things like that.
Yeah, that sort of come up this week, didn't it, online, a wrestler in America complaining about that sort of stuff.
And that's right, yeah, I did see about that one. It's a funny subject. I don't know. Everyone's going to have a different view on it. Obviously, my view is, obviously everyone, not just the wrestlers, but everyone deserves to get paid more for what they do. But if you weigh that up with everyone their worth, then we wouldn't be able to afford to have a show, and then you wouldn't be able to do anything. Then where do you go? Obviously everyone's trying to find what that middle ground is, and everyone's got different ideas of how you determine that middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
But,
There still is a lot to be said for people flying themselves up and putting themselves in front of, say, a promoter to say, this is what I can do. And when proving themselves, go, look, we'll bring you up next time, because that was really good.
Sorry, mate?
I said there's a difference between there's still something to be said for guys bringing themselves over to put themselves in front of a bigger promotion to say, this is what we can do. And then maybe if they impress enough, have them say, yes, come back. We want you to come back for.
Definitely. Look after.
That's the main way to do it. If you really get over to a company, you can't just send them an email and then just that's it. You've got to physically show them, because there's. You know, they've already got their own guys. They've already got their normal guys that they run with from interstate and whatnot. If you want to get over there, then, you know, definitely send the email and whatnot as well, or the message or the call or the whatever it is. But they'll probably need to see something. And showing them live or showing them that you're really keen by actually, whether it's, whether it's you're new and you're going over there for free, or whether you've been around for a while and you're taking a bit of a cut, or maybe you're halving flights or you're whatevering. There's different ways to do it. But,
You've also got to realise that if you're an interstater and you're coming over, it's someone on a local show that's missing out because you're trying to get a spot. So
you need to be better than that person. You need to be better than that person that you're taking the spot of.
Oh, it's not so much about being better, but you've got to be we're allowed to swear on this, aren't we?
Yeah.
You can't be a cunt about it. You've got to do it the right way, and you've got to. Not expect to be on the show, but sort of ask and show respect and all that sort of shit.
Show respect and that sort of shit.
And all that shit. I love that you just asked if we could swear and just drops...
Drops the biggest one you can possibly drop.
Mate, if you're going to go in, you might as well go balls deep, mate.
So, tell me about the Riot City Academy, because you moved... Just after I left Adelaide, you moved into a nice new facility, and how's that? Thanks for that, by the way.
Yeah. Gone. Let's go to a good place.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, let's go somewhere right near where he used to live, so he doesn't have to drive.
It's all on purpose.
Yeah, I know. I know your moves. Yeah, tell us about the academy.
Yeah, we moved to a different place, like you said. It's bigger, it's newer, it's shinier. Obviously, when we moved to the old place, it was basically what we could afford at the time. I mean, you know, as much as most people in indie wrestling, there's not much money floating around in indie wrestling. We gambled with the first place, and lots of training schools open and close and open and close and whatnot. And we were sort of determined that when we opened, we wanted to stay open. We wanted to keep it moving and growing and that sort of stuff. So we started cheap. Built our foundations and whatnot. We finally got up to this new one. Was a big gamble because it's pretty much doubling our expenses.
Mm-hmm.
But it's gone really well. We've got our separate weights area. We got a promo area. We got Joe's got his own office. Big matted area. It's
a good place for live events.
It is amazing. Yeah, it is an amazing place.
The location it's in, it means that the live events that we do down there now, they're really picking up. So we get, 70 to 100 people per show, and that's great.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's good for the younger guys you've got coming up to get that experience in front of a larger crowd, not just 10 or 15 of, say, the students, family, and friends. It's people that would come to the bigger shows as well.
Yeah, that's it. And that's what those shows are for. They're for, the mid-carded guys get to try some main events. The guys that are pushing to be on shows get to get in there. It's a good way to work up. And then for guys that are on shows, we get to try some new stuff. We get to have some fun. Try new moves, new gimmicks, new whatevers.
Mm.
Bro, this is whether he wears pants or not.
It's a tough decision.
You barely wear a shirt, so I mean the pants are optional.
Yeah.
Talk to me about World Series Wrestling, because you guys have been pretty much in since the reboot, if you will. It's getting absolutely praised by every international that comes down, and I guess that's not only a testament to Adrian and the way he operates as a company, but also the local guys that they get to work with. So just tell me about the company as a whole.
Yeah. It's I don't know. Like Adrian's our mate. So, but he is not only that. He's just like he does it well. He's professional in every sense of the word. I mean, you look at all the feedback that keeps coming back from the internationals in regards to how they're treated and how the shows are performed, the locker room, all that sort of stuff. Adrian sort of set a standard not only in Australia but internationally on how promotions are meant to be run. it's a bloody great place to work. Like it's fun. Every one that we've been to and all the tours that we've done with Adrian, like not only has the local guys been amazing, but all the international talent have been really, really cool. There hasn't been any real standout dickhead, if that makes any sense. They've all been super nice. It's a great place to learn and just listen to some of the, I think I mentioned this in the last podcast that I spoke to. Go back and listen if you like. It's full of information. sitting down, I mean, we got to do it this time as well, just sitting down and listening to Austin Aries and his thoughts on wrestling and whatnot. And, he's done this thing where there's some controversy around him and shit like that. But you listen to the bloke, and it all fucking makes sense. And people shit on it, and the keyboard warriors get on about it and all this sort of stuff. But the bloke is a friggin' genius, and that showed with the last results of this tour. Those were his ideas. He's fucking amazing. So you know, it's a good place to sit under the learning tree and just listen to some of these guys who are doing this as a living. Maddie?
Man, no, I think you're right. Like, that's the main thing is just everyone's having fun on these tours. The guys that are coming over, they're not just coming over for a paycheck and then leaving sort of thing. They're here to actually help grow the brand as well, and they're here to help the Australians. Like, they're super approachable for things like feedback. Like, they're everyone's been really cool. Guys like Brian Cage just pushing people out of their comfort zone. Airy is just pushing all like psychology and whatnot, so, like, making sure that everything that happens for a reason. He's constantly sort of talking to Adrian about, you know, where we're going sort of in terms of the company, like making sure that we're trying to grow and we're trying to, push. He's not just here for, like I said, for a paycheck and then to go home and sort of take that. He's actually genuinely interested in it. So I think that's the case for all of the guys. Down, like your main guys, like your Joey Ryan, Brian Cage, Austin Aries, Marty Skill, all those guys that have been down several times already there. Yeah, there's a genuine sort of interest in it.
And that's a credit to Adrian as well, because he's listening to this and helping not only push those guys who are already, superstars in their own right, but also getting the Australian talent and putting them at the forefront. Concrete and Joey won the tag belt straight off the bat. Then you've got Eagles that just recently won the title off of Aries and stuff like that. And, you know, you had Chris Basso and Slex having main event matches, and that's two Aussies. Mm-hmm. You had Brooksy versus Marty Skrull, stuff like that. It's just, it's putting the Aussie guys at the forefront, and it's pushing these guys and making them better, because this stuff gets seen around the world, and it's just what Adrian's doing is so fantastic for Australian wrestling.
Yeah, and yeah. I also got to credit the guys that came down, like Joey Ryan and Cody Rhodes, who were injured and couldn't compete, still found ways to participate in the show. And from that, even though that you normally hear people complaining, going, oh, I can't believe I don't get to see her, I can't believe... You never really heard that on this tour, because they all sort of felt entertained by what those guys did anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Fortunate. The late timing of their injuries, just not obviously being able to sort anyone else in time with visas and when they're free and all that sort of gear. But the fact that they came down and they were still super appreciative of it, of still being able to come down, it's a credit to those guys as well.
Yes. Are you coming up for the next tour? Are you going to be on more than one show? Or they haven't even announced the next tour yet, have they?
No, not as yet. But there's already plans in place. So, we'll see. I know what Adrian wants. So, we'll see. We'll see how it all works out. So, I dare say we will. So we'll just we'll play it by ear and wait and see how the tour pans out.
Okay, we'll move back into your home promotion, and that is RCW. You got the big Battle for Supremacy coming up. You guys, what is it? Is it a six-man or multi... How would you call it?
Multi-person.
Multi-person, there you go.
Corbin Dallas multi-person.
Yeah. Yes. Against, it's the Rude Ones, and you've got Mickey Fortune now on your team. Is she a God and a Monster, or what, which one
she
is she?
She is an official member of Gods and Monsters, mate.
She is officially in.
So tell the people at home how this sort of match has come about.
Go, Matty.
Well,
go, Matty.
As we've been getting into the tag division, old mate Rude Ones they've been the mainstays with us in our tag division for years. They're basically our Dudley boys, and they've got a girl in their team named Venus, and we did not have a girl in our team.
Name
so, named Mickey Fortune.
Getting more involved with each other's grievances, shall we say. It was one of those things in the feud. Like, it also just sort of felt cool with Mickey being around. Like, she's different to most of the other chicks that we sort of see through wrestling. Like, she's just a, you know, bit of a badass.
It's also good to have her back as well, isn't it?
Sorry? Yeah, definitely.
Because she was out, was it in, was it shoulder injury or, I can't remember right now.
A bit of everything. I think she's had a few injuries, mate. I think it was just a matter of her her recovering over most of those. But she's good. And I mean, for those that have seen her in Snake Pit and all that sort of stuff, she's one of the hardest bitches going around in wrestling. She's fantastic. So she will be a good addition to what we do and what we bring to the table. So really looking forward to. We've already worked with her once on a house show. So, and we came off that and said it'd be a bloody good idea if she hung around. So it just adds another string to our bow, and it gives her an opportunity to add another element to what we already offer. So it's really, really good.
Mm. And that one's at the Latvian Hall, yes?
Yes, sir. Yes,
it is.
And tickets are already on sale?
Sorry, say again.
I said tickets are already on sale, yes?
Yes.
Just checking.
Yep. So this is our big main event show. This is our blow off for like the storylines that have happened through the year. So it's our big one. So if you're listening, get down because it's going to be bloody amazing. So we're going to put it all on the line for you and really try and put on a really bloody good show.
Yeah. Well, you've got.
Line for you.
Mate, we're going to put it on the line. I put my house on it. I put my house on us winning. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. If I lose my house, I'm fucking stupid. But anyway, we'll see how we go.
Not played, mate.
Yeah, don't dig a hole or anything. You've also got Zach and Cree in the main event for that, and that will be a beautiful match because those two, just their different styles, and Matty can wrestle anyone, and it's going to be a classic. And then you've got a guy who just his character work and his psychology over the last, 2 years really has been brilliant in Zach. So it'll be a really, really good main event.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Those two working together is sensational. I think Cree's definitely going to push him out of his comfort zone. But Zach, just watching him work out there, he's something else. Yeah, he's an odd character. Mm. I love to watch him.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that I like because there are certain people that have a gimmick, but when they get in the ring and the bell rings, the gimmick sort of ends and then they just become a wrestler. Whereas he sort of just envelops that character for the whole match. Much like yourself, Matty, because I remember doing ring announcing.
Oh, no worries, mate. I'm right here.
Yeah, well, you're a shit, so I mean. No, I remember ring announcing before one of your matches. And just feeling the intensity come off with you and seeing you not break at all into just like normal. Because you see it possibly a lot with guys that aren't as seasoned, that as soon as the bell rings, then they just go into wrestler mode and forget about the character they've created. But you and Zach and Cree and, yes, you, Broads, you keep the happy, mate.
I am now.
Yeah. You guys keep that character, and that's something that I suppose you guys really do stress at the academy, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that just comes with being comfy. People who are comfy, you know, they're not stressing about what's coming up next or having to breathe. If you're gassed, everyone can see gassed, and all you're doing is thinking about breathing. Then you're forgetting about your character or your selling or anything like that. Yeah, it's guys that are comfy that have been around for a while and have actually pushed themselves and do train. They're the ones that you can see it with.
Yeah, just finding your character and finding that like finding how to read a crowd and all that sort of stuff. That comes with, like Matty said, comes with time as well, just experience and time.
Mm. And even just finding the right character. Like there's certain people. So I've traveled to a lot of companies, right? And I forget how characters I've seen where people are like, I'm the evil lord
of Reaper
who, you know, can only be finished if you summon four angels to come down and vanquish me with swords or something like that. You're like, okay, that's the gimmick you're going for, no worries. It's like, how the hell are you going to put that across? And then they go out there, they're wearing just, you know, Johnny Kickpad or not. As soon as the bell rings, they're doing you know, a drop toehold from hell or something like that. Like, to find something that's actually just all the guys say it, like the best gimmicks are just an extension of yourself anyway. And that's why Gods and Monsters is so good. This is where basically just like Luke actually is Russell Crowe.
Yep.
And you know that's cool. So that's
yeah.
You actually are a Viking looking dude. Yeah.
Where did you come up with the idea of the whole, instead of sitting down and filming promos, doing the whole text message thing? Because it pops me every time. But yeah, where did you come up with the idea of thinking about doing
this? You will have to ask Maddie that one. That's all his creation, my friend.
I don't know if I did come up with it. I think I just did it one day as a joke.
Well, that's that there is coming up with it.
Yeah, that's the definition of coming up with it.
I think if you actually go back and look at the first one, because I only noticed it afterwards, I forgot to crop it properly, and it's got like fake text, like logos. I just literally did it just for a bit of a laugh, and I enjoyed it. So then I did it again, and I enjoyed that again. So I kept doing it.
Okay. I think the first one, more people popped for the word Russell Crowe.
Yeah. The funny thing is, I looked at it and I thought, yeah, he'd probably legit have Broads in his phone as that too. That's why I was like, yeah, that could be a legit message.
Yep. I got Maddie down as bitch tits, so.
Oh, nice. Is that what I wanted to hear?
No. Oh, dear. And now you're coming out with the horn for drinking. Is that possibly the best gimmick anyone can sell at a show? A horn to be able to drink beer out of?
The answer is yes.
The answer to all of that is yes.
No offense to anyone else, but
yes,
we got the coolest fucking merch in the whole land.
Yep. And if anyone else sells horns, we will personally fucking stab you.
Oh shit. Yep. With a horn?
With a horn.
Yeah.
Just putting threats out on a podcast. How good is this?
You put your house up, you're threatening people, you drop the C bomb. I mean, you're doing alright, aren't you?
C bomb threats of violence. Good times.
Great memories.
Come to Adelaide.
And buy a horn. If you don't buy a horn, Luke will stab you.
Shit.
Should you tell the Austin story or not? Probably not.
Nah.
All right, no worries.
Way to tease that. Well done, lads. Because you are pretty much one of, if not the head trainer at the RCW Academy, right? Maddie, who have you got coming through that you can really see being something big in a year or two?
Oh, geez.
If all anyone.
Well, the first one that leaps to my mind, I hate to say this, he's taller than I am, but young Kurt Barron is, like I said, a year or two. If he's not picked up in 2 years, I'd be very surprised. He's picked up real quick. He's putting on size. He moves around like a middleweight, and he's bloody, he's young, he's hungry, he's keen. If he gets an ego, then Luke will stab him.
With a horn.
With a horn. He's for me, I might be biased because I'll, big dudes. I'm a relatively large person myself. I like working with the big dudes instead of helping them out and whatnot. And he really seems to get on board with that and like listen to how to make yourself look big, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All the little tricks with that. So he's taking lots of stuff on board. Other than that, there's another little guy we got at the moment, Tommy, who won half of the Perea, who is, I say little guy, he's
Gabriel Eros.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry.
Throwing out shoot names left, right, and center.
he's, once again, sensational. Actually, both of the Perea, but Tommy's jacked. That's maybe the difference. No offense, Eli.
Skinny jacked.
But he's working hard, and he's like, you know, he's working out with Cree, I'm pretty sure, 18 times a week. I made that figure up, obviously.
Yeah, well.
But they work out a lot, so I'm getting at him.
Yeah, I noticed, I noticed he's actually starting to get a bit of, like, thickness about him too now.
Yeah, yeah, he's bulking up. And that's, like, him working out with Cree is working out real well. I will say two young rookies that are sort of coming up, like, they're just sort of getting onto shows now. But young Kip Condor, so that's his wrestling name. I think he's going to be good coming up through, like, once he sort of establishes himself and gets some experience under his belt, I think he's going to be really good. And also a young Jensen Hunt, who is a great character already. So I think he's going to go places when he sort of settles in and gets some more experience under his belt as well.
Yeah, Wolfie told me about Jensen. Wolfie's got big marks on that guy.
Yeah, he's just a real nice dude as well. Like he's down there. He's got the right attitude where he wants to help other people, so other people want to help him.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people get stuck where they might have heaps of talent or heaps of skills, but if they've got a shit attitude, no one's going to want to help them out, and then they don't progress as far.
Yep.
The guys that Luke's talking about, they're both young, keen, and hungry. And yeah, they're just good people. So yeah, you want to get on board and help those people.
Mm. How do you breed that sort of that family feeling that RCW has? Because it's something that lacks in a lot of promotions nowadays, and a lot that I've been to, I look around and I'm like, it's just not the same feeling. It's not the same sort of brotherhood that RCW have. How do you instill that in everyone?
Can I chuck it in? Because I came into it. So
you're the same as me. Yeah.
It's because everybody does everything. You won't have someone that's been working there for 7 years that will not help pack up or set up or anything like that. It's everyone does it. Maddie and Cree are still there. They're the first ones to get there and the last ones to leave, and they're the hardest working out of the lot. So they instill that. If they're doing it, and we've got another bloke down there called Marvel who's been wrestling longer than any of us, and he will lead the charge, especially with setting stuff up in the trailer. So if they're out there doing it, there's no excuse for anyone else not to be doing it. And that sort of vibe makes it more of a team atmosphere. I mean, you can go out and you can wrestle, and that stuff's teamwork within itself. But then it's the before and after that actually really sort of sinks in with it being a team and a family and all that sort of stuff. Well, that's what I found anyway. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think for us it was a difference with I don't know how it works with other trainers, but myself and Cree, coming from a footy background, we've just always had a team atmosphere sort of thing. Like, that's going into a locker room where people, you know, didn't talk to each other or didn't sort of get along or things like that. That's like the foreign concept to me. I understand that's how it is with a lot of wrestling, but that just seems weird. You're putting on a show together anyway. You're training together. You're doing all these things together. You right there, mate?
Jesus Christ. What are you doing?
Making popcorn? Well, what's going on?
Sorry. Stop doing things.
This is the guy that was lecturing me on podcasts earlier. That's brilliant. Anyway, go on, Maddie.
I had to move some my bloody stuff for my cat, so I apologize.
That's all right.
What was it? Fragile glass?
No, the cat food. So, and it's kitty litter. So anyway, another story. Good times.
Yeah. Anyway, you were going on about family, mate, and team.
Oh, yeah, okay. And then the other thing is, it's not rocket science, but apparently it is. Just don't be a dick. Like, that's like, literally all comes back to, like, just treat people how you want to be treated. Like, if you start excluding people from shit, then they'll start excluding you from shit. If you want to help people out, then other people want to help you out. It's not anything new. It's like your mum taught you this when you were 4 years old. Yeah, it should be something that's instilled in everyone, but I get that in wrestling, especially because it is a bit of an ego-driven sport. People want to, you know, they want to have the spotlight for himself, or like they're the main attraction in this thing or whatever. But like, end of the day, like you're, even if you're the most popular guy in the company and you're you're at the top of this giant feud and you're winning and you've got all the belts and rah, 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 all the glory, you still need other people to put you over to get you there.
Yeah.
It's other people to be on board with the idea of making you look glorious while they had to look like the bad guy. And you're only going to get people, like, the more on board with it you are, like me and Luke's feud. So he retired me back in 2015. And we could do that because I was totally on board with the idea of him being this ultimate big evil guy that could retire me and whatnot. And because we were both into the gimmick then, it translated out there, I think. But
that was like, that was a 100% selfless act from Matty. Wasn't injured, didn't need time off.
No, I was going to say that.
Did it for the storyline, and to be honest with you, did it to push me.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the sort of stuff that you're like, holy shit, these guys care about what's going on. They care about building people within the Fed, and like in my case, they cared about me. So, you know, it was that sort of stuff. That's where I go, okay, I'm here for life, and I'll do anything for these guys. So
yeah, and yeah. It's one of the reasons why when I moved up to Queensland, I was only talking about this with my wife the other day. She's like, do you miss Adelaide? I said, I only miss the guys. I only miss the RCW. Like,
we're good guys, mate.
You're all right. Yeah, you're all right.
We miss you too, Todd.
Ah, shut up. But it was true. It's true though. Like that's the main thing I miss about. I mean, I miss my family and all that. But it's not. And it sounds terrible. I don't miss my family as much as I miss my mates.
No offense, Mr. and Mrs. Todd.
Yeah, love you, Mum.
it's true though, man. It's like, it's a cool bunch down here. Everyone gets along. As with any group where, you know, you're constantly getting people in and out and whatnot, there's always going to be some people that don't get along as well with others or whatnot, and there are going to be some people that come in with egos or...
Like family, mate. Not everyone in family gets along.
So. That's it. And all you can do, you can't go into it not expecting that to happen. It's going to happen. But all you can do is address it when it does and try and put steps in place to lead by example, to try and show why it shouldn't. And that's it. Like, I come back to examples like Luke brought up before. Like, if Matt Rott or Marvel is still packing up and setting up and that sort of stuff, then everyone should be. If Joe, the owner of the company, is willing to sweep the floors at the end of the night, then it's not above anyone else or below anyone else. It should be, we're all on there at the same team. I get the old hierarchy of wrestling with, like, you know, there's the rookies do all the shit kicker jobs and the pros just do, you know, we rock up, we wrestle, we leave sort of thing, like rah, rah, rah. I get that's still a thing to a degree. I think you're going to get a better result out of your rookies. And I mean, it's not in like I'm doing this deliberately to manipulate. I think you get a better result out of your rookies if they actually want to be there, rather than if they're only there because they're terrified to crack a whip.
Yeah.
And that's the same for wrestling as it would be for if you're running a beauty salon and your employees are like only there because they're terrified, or if they're there because they really take pride in the blood and stuff like that. Like, it's almost business 101. Like, you're only going to get so far cracking the whip before you piss people off. And if you can actually build a bit of values into these guys, if they can see that you're passionate about it as well, then they'll follow, hopefully.
Along with that respect element as well.
Yeah, that's it.
It's a lot easier to respect someone who's right next to you doing everything that you're doing than the guy that's sitting in the cafeteria talking.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll go back to the Marvel situation. I tell you now, if Marvel's out there working and someone that's been in the game for 5 minutes isn't working as hard as him, well, then there's an issue on that person not respecting the bloke that's been there and paved the way for them to step into the ring. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. exactly. Now I know, because we've talked to Brody before, that he's he's sort of like, he's happy doing what he's doing now in RCW and in Australian wrestling and all that. But you, Matty, are you still planning on like furthering your career and hoping that you can branch out into, say, the international, the scene?
And the dream's never dead. I think I'll be realistic in that the older I get, the smaller the dream gets. But that said, as well, like, the, if you look at the trend of what, you know, if we're talking WWE sort of thing, if you look at the trend of what they're hiring and pushing now, it is like the age barrier that they're getting is getting older. In terms of working on the indies and whatnot, going to the, you know, whether it's the States or the UK or things like that, once again, it's not dead. As my life is progressing here, I'm getting more and more responsibilities here, with whether it's our school and our company, or my wonderful partner who's in the other room over there. And, you know, we're about to...
Hi, Maddie. I can see you. I'm waving. Cool.
Yeah, so we've got responsibilities that we're sort of planning and things like that as well. So nothing's dead. But my main concentration is, I suppose, Australia, and really working hard with these, with our shows picking up the Adelaide scene.
Yep.
With the working with Adrian with the World Series Wrestling things, picking up the broader Australian scene, and with that, keeping the communications open with your guys and other companies like your Bonzers, Trents, all those guys just from the other companies. To try and do that together, I guess, rather than just like leaving it
as a silo and just being by yourself. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Like if we've got a contact for new ring mats, we'll give that to guys, sort of thing. Like if we've got we've worked out, you know, where you can get new ring aprons from and stuff like that. So we'll share the information around with the guys that, you know, that we like.
All the guys that are willing to do the same to us, like it's a two-way street.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's it. And some people are on board with that idea. Some people less on board with that idea. But I think I even came up in my Facebook memories a while ago. I wrote a thing about how I think we're turning a page now where other companies are more accepting of other companies' wins. If that makes sense. So. It's not looked at as like, ah, shit, they got this really good thing, that sucks. It's like, no, they got this good thing, and as long as they're doing it right and they're doing, like, they're upholding a standard still, a win for them is almost a win for Aussie wrestling, if that makes sense.
Yep, totally.
If it's the other way, if they say they get on TV and the product they're putting out there is fucking bullshit, then, you know, obviously not necessarily win. But... but there's lots of things, like whether it's even small things like they, you know, that company's got new lighting, or they've got a new venue, or they've got, like, you know, this wrestler's getting really big, or they had a clip that went viral, or like whatever it is, like the exposure's sort of, it's helping most of us now, and we can all sort of bounce
each other.
Yeah, well, that's like I was saying to Mick Moretti the other week, the world is now so small because of the internet that you can be, oh shit, I just saw PWA online. They're from Australia. I'll fucking see if I can check out some more Australian wrestling. And then you stumble onto RCW on YouTube.
Look at what old mate Paris did with that video that went viral. That put Australian wrestling out there, which is, it like helps us all. Like that sort of stuff is great. It doesn't matter whether it comes from PWA, Nui Pro, Riot City Wrestling, Wrestle Rampage, wherever the fuck it comes from. It's putting us all out there. So, you know, it's positive stuff.
Mm. Well, just like, I totally forgot, because last year you, when you were over in America, Matty, you wrestled on bar wrestling, didn't you?
I did, yes.
Yeah, how was that for a show? Because that's Jerry Ryan's promotion, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Matty, it was so we were over there for Donna's band was touring. So I was just lucky that in between their tours, because we were sort of sticking to a fairly tight schedule of which towns we had to hit on what days and whatnot, I got to work a couple of wrestling dates over there. gone from almost one extreme to the other. So bar wrestling was great. It was like, you know, super indie, false counts everywhere. False finishes. Yeah, everyone was like really good. Like the amount of talent on that show was ridiculous. And it was in this seedy, tiny little rec hall sort of thing that I actually drove past it because I didn't think that was the place. and then I had to turn around and go, oh, no, it's just telling me that's it. Oh, okay. Shit. It was out in the middle of nowhere, but they had a big crowd, and the crowd were fucking right into it. The matches they put on were insane. We got to work. It was an 8-man tag filled with giants, which was really cool. And then one little dude who was actually amazing himself. So we just got to brawl around the arena, and it was lots of fun. I had a beer mid match, and then got punched in the guts and almost threw it up. So going from that one, and then working Championship Hollywood the next night, which was almost, I can't say complete opposite, like, but it was...
That's the full-on, like, studio TV production sort of deal, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. It was such a professional setup. They had, you know, like, the way they were running through their promos and whatnot, they'll do promos in English and in Spanish. The amount of bloody cameras and lighting and their whole production setup was sensational. It was a permanent bloody arena for it. But of course, that being for TV, they had sort of, in your entrance, like walk down, stand here for a sec, then walk down to this next point, pause there for a sec, walk to that next point over there, rah-rah-rah, face this way first, then face that way, blah-blah-blah. So it was the opposite in terms of the bar wrestling one. You pretty much just, you know,
did whatever, go there and
you're for leather sort of thing. Because people are literally right up against the apron. So you're surrounded. Whereas, yeah, this is very specific sort of work hard cams and that sort of stuff. And that's not really something that we do too much of in Australia. So that's even still something that, you know, I still like as a challenge to myself, is going to remind myself of it. Used to work in, you know, the three sides or the four sides, whatever it is, because you're working the live crowds. But, obviously the pacing was very different and whatnot. And I don't know. I met a bunch of cool dudes over there, man. They're all, I think once again, you get guys that just have fun and it shows in their matches.
Mm. You talked about brawling on the outside in the bar wrestling match. You had quite the incident in the World Series Wrestling pay-per-view, didn't you? Where a beard was large. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I don't want to tell you, but you hurt yourself, mate.
Never in my wrestling career did I think that I'll get to get in a match with Abyss, and to do it with Abyss and Jimmy Havoc, and then Jonah from Australia as well, was real cool. Havoc's a bloody hardcore legend, and I myself love doing hardcore matches. Getting a square off with him was sensational. Getting to like walk through the crowd, squaring up to each other, trading a few big chops. That was great. And then, in an interesting twist, get thrown through a table at the end and bust my lip open and had to say goodbye to my beard.
I was going to say, that's the biggest sacrifice anyone could make, really. Especially you.
Sad times.
I was more upset that there wasn't at least one photo. I was so mad.
I actually got a photo of, because it cut on the outside, but it also busted on the inside.
So what actually happened? A piece of the table broke off and went through your face, or what was it?
I didn't go through. So as the table broke, a bit of the table sort of turned sideways, and that's the bit that I landed on, if that makes sense. So it was just the way that it, like, just the way it broke, it was a, you know, one of those one in a million sort of things that just jabbed me in the face and just sort of, like I said, it didn't actually go the whole way through, but it was at least enough to like bash the crap out of me. I was going to say, got a photo of, they had to do, I think it was like four or five stitches. stitches inside my lip as well. That would hurt like buggery.
Yeah, it would have. Jesus. And the beard was the sacrifice.
It's the worst beard.
I know. I think it was you that told me too, Brody. You were just like, the beard's gone, mate. I'm like, what?
Well, it almost broke up the band, mate. But you know, we persevered.
Speaking of breaking up the band, we're going to have to call time on the interview. So if there's any plugs or anything you want to get out the way, boys, Brody, we'll have you go first, mate.
Like I said last time, don't worry about my shit, but look at Riot City Wrestling, look at World Series Wrestling. Battle for Supremacy in Adelaide on December 8th at the Wavell Showgrounds. No, it's not. It's at the Latvian Hall in Wavell. Yeah, this is it. Like I said before, this is our big show. This is our blow off. So come and have a look. Come and see some live wrestling. No matter what state you're in, go and watch live wrestling because seeing it live is so much better than watching it on TV. So that's my plug.
Plus, there's $5 beers, and you can buy a drinking horn and then drink the $5 beer out of your.
And you can buy a drinking horn. How fucking good is that?
Right?
And I promise not to stab you with it.
If you buy one.
If you buy one.
No guarantees if you don't. All right, Maddie, Brody, see, you nearly had me doing it. Maddie, Brody, thank you very much for joining me, boys.
Legend.
Thank you, my friend.
Some people say having an opinion is like having a penis. It's really great for you, but you shouldn't share it around. That's exactly what we don't do. We share it all about the internet. And in fact, we advertise it on other people's podcasts so that they can go and enjoy it as well. Am I talking about penises or am I talking about opinions on film? To find out, you'll have to go to our website, secondtakepodcast.com, or find Second Take Podcast on your podcatcher of choice.
It's now time to find out where the action is. Around the country and in Victoria on Friday night, Battle Championship Wrestling at the White Horse Club in Burwood East. Former WWE superstar Ken Shamrock, the world's most dangerous man, takes on Gabriel Wolf. Moshtickets.com.au for tickets for that one. Get out there and see Ken Shamrock on Friday night. Then on Saturday night, swing over to Warzone Wrestling at the Wellington Secondary College in Mulgrave. The main event for that one is a Warzone Championship match. Dowie James defends his title against Slade Mercer. Tickets for that one are available at the door. Or you can head on over to the Southeastern Entertainment Centre in Ferntree Gully for PCW Ignition. One of the matches on that card is Sid Parker against Semi Falcon. Tickets for that one at pcw.com.au, and that's what's going on in Victoria. In New South Wales, Nui Pro, Newcastle Pro Wrestling at Club Maitland City, Rutherford. Jack Bonza, Mick Moretti, Madison Eagles, The Babes, Jackson Kelly, Indy Hartwell, Harley Wonderland, Chesa McKenzie, and much more on that card. Tickets for that one at newcastleprowrestling.com.au/tickets. Get out there and see Nui Pro Wrestling if you're in New South Wales. In Perth on Friday night, NHPW Final Chapter 9 at Gate 1 Claremont Showgrounds. The main event for that one, the MLW champion Low Key taking on Jonah Rock. What a match that is going to be. Tickets for that one at showtickets.com.au. Then on Saturday night in South Australia, Wrestle Rampage All or Nothing at the Port Adelaide Recreational Centre. The main event for that one, the Australian National Championship. Jonah Rock defends against Damien Slater, AJ Istria, Rat Daddy, and Robbie Hart in a no DQ 5-way elimination match. That is WrestleRampage.com for tickets for that one. Big weekend for Jonah Rock in Australian wrestling. In Queensland, UPW has Jingle Jam at the Maroochydore Clippers Basketball Stadium. The main event for that one is a UPW title match. One of the best young wrestlers in Queensland, ECW, defends his title against one of my favourite wrestlers, one of my boys, Youngblood Jesse Love. Also, one of my other boys, and this is a personal note for me, very good mate of mine, Ricky Rembrandt, returns to action. For those of you that don't know, Ricky Rembrandt has, for the last year, been fighting cancer, and to see him getting the all clear to return to action is, it makes me feel really good. It's amazing, and I cannot wait to hear how that went, because I cannot be there, unfortunately. But you can be there if you go to stickytickets.com.au and get your tickets for that one at the Maroochydore Clippers Basketball Stadium. I can't be there because I will be at AWA Finals Destination. It is an 18 plus event at the Zoo in Fortitude Valley. I will be managing my man, my champion, the AWA champion, Showtime Jake Nova, as he defends his title against one of my former clients, one of my first ever clients, Adam Brooks. That is going to be an amazing match. Also on that card, Headstrong, Humanity, Adonis, Mick McCarthy, and Combat Wombat. Got to get out there and see Combat Wombat. Again, that is an 18 plus event. Tickets for that one, tickets for that one at zoo.oztix.com.au. Any promotions that want their shows mentioned here on Where the Action Is, hit us up on our Facebook or email me at WrestleRadioAustraliaTodd@gmail.com, and we'll mention you on an upcoming episode, or book me and I'll definitely mention it, because I want people to know where I'm going to be. And that is Where the Action Is this weekend. And that wraps us up for this episode of Wrestle Radio Australia. Once again, big thanks to my guests. Well, they're big guys, so I guess big thanks to those guys. Big Brody Marshall and the Viking Matt Grim Basso. Yeah, I can't say much more about these guys. You know, they're like my brothers. I love them. So go out and check them out anytime they're on a card in your area. If you haven't already, though, make sure you subscribe to WRA. It's free and you can do it on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcast from. If you do stop by iTunes, give us a rating and review while you're there. Give us a 5-star. Helps us get inside more ears. Share the show and spread the word. Also, make sure you like us on Facebook. Just search Wrestle Radio Australia, and on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU, or me personally at Beast Eastman. We are also on Instagram at Wrestle Radio AU, so go and check us out there. As always, there are shirts for sale, WRA shirts for sale on Redbubble. Go to Redbubble, just search out Wrestle Radio Australia or WRA. All proceeds going from sales of those shirts go to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, which is a passion for me, is trying to help support men's health. So much so, we did an episode a while ago all about that in the wrestling industry. You can go and check that out on the archives of Wrestle Radio Australia. It's called Wrestling Your Demons. Really good conversation with our guests from this week, Brody Marshall, Mr. Juicy, and the Wolf Dog. Go and check that out. Again, possibly my favorite ever podcast I've done, but only because I know for a fact it helped a lot of people out there, and that really, to me, is what it's all about here in Wrestle Radio Australia, helping not only men's health, but also helping Australian professional wrestling. And to send us home, Promoland this week. It's a guy who's been on Promoland before, but what can I say? I'm a big fan of his work in the promo department, Matty Wahlberg. And this is a promo he has cut towards a match coming up with Jax Jordan at, I believe it's, I'm not too sure if it's PWA or New Pro. It would be one of those. I would say it would be PWA, but I'm not too sure, to be perfectly honest with you. But it is an amazing promo. And that will do us this week for WrestleRadio Australia. Until next week, this is Todd Eastman. We'll catch you next week. Oh my Lord, that was terrible.
People ask me whether I care about you, Jax. And I'm an honest guy, so I'll tell you straight up. I couldn't care less about you. To me, you are nothing. You are a nobody. I understand why everyone in the crowd got behind him, and why they have been wanting him to be in Babe so bad. It's because everyone in the crowd's like, Jax, they're just losers. They are. I don't know how it feels. I can't be empathetic. What happened with Jax was a business decision. I looked at Carter, and Carter said to me, it's me or him. As soon as he said it, I knew what I was going to do. People can say I'm a bully. We're fucking adults. There's no such thing as bullying when you're an adult. He had every opportunity to slap me in the face and he didn't. Do you know why? Because he's a pussy. Jax Jordan is an absolute pussy. One day he'll learn. One day. And I'm doing my best to teach him a lesson. And if I have to kick him in the face at Fridays after the Babes, if I have to beat him senseless for him to realize who he truly is, then so be it.
I'll be the martyr. I'll be the bad guy. Because I don't care whether people like me or not. I'm the only honest person in PWA. And Jax, honestly, it's just not wrestling, man. Move on. Do something with your life. This isn't for you.